according to Bhagavatam. Kim vidate kim machaste kim manurya vikalpayat tetya shahridayam loke nanyaman nirakashchana.
Very relevant verse. Because we find so many people who take to Vedic understanding based on mental speculation. Vedas minus Krishna is very common then. Demigod worship or impersonal philosophy. They want Vedas without Krishna. But this idea is completely bogus. As Krishna confirms, in the entire world, no one but me actually understands the confidential purpose of the Vedic knowledge. Thus, people do not know what the Vedas are actually prescribing in the ritualistic injunctions of Karmakanda, or what object is actually being indicated in the formulas of worship found in the Upasana Kanda, or that which is elaborately discussed through the various hypotheses in the Jnana Kanda section of the Vedas. People are often confused. They say, well, the Shiva Purana says Shiva is the supreme. Durga Purana says that Durga is the supreme. In this way, they become bewildered that, you have your Purana, we have our Purana. So whether you worship Shiva or Krishna, it's really all the same. It's just a matter of which path you choose to go. That's what they say. But they fail to know this. They fail to know that there are different puranas for persons in different modes of nature, meant to elevate that person within that particular mode. The actual position of spiritual perfection is completely beyond the modes of nature. So if one wants to come to that position, then one is required to come to that purana, which is free of any tinge of the modes of nature. And that is Amalam Puranam, that is Srimad Bhagavatam. So alright, if you want to remain in the modes of nature, you can worship Shiva the Supreme. That's there in the Vedas. But if you actually want liberation, if you actually want to become delivered from the cycle of birth and death, then you must come to the Amalam Puranam, Srimad Bhagavatam. There we get factual knowledge, you see. Completely free from any tinge of the modes of nature. There are many types of worship within the modes of nature. It's described by these religionists, you see, who are worshipping for some material purpose, whether it's the Vedic religionists or the Christians, the Muslims, the Jews, or whatever. As long as one is worshipping with some fruitive desire for material gain, even to the point of merging into Brahman, which is the last snare of material game. As long as one is worshipping in this mood, then there is no question of actual perfection. You've come to that place where you've come to the Supreme Lord or to the Vedic knowledge to get perfection, but yet you're sidetracked by your desires for material benefit. So, of course, in the beginning it is natural. We will have desire, material desire. And we will come. It is described in the Bhagavad Gita, there's four kinds of pious men who come to him. Those who are distressed, those who desire wealth, those who are curious, and those who are running after knowledge. These are all four considered material desire. So in the beginning, it is natural some material desire will be there. But when one hears from great Vaishnava acharyas, like Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas who are manifesting here in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when one hears from these great personalities, then one can get the understanding that, just like Dhruva did, you see, Dhruva Maharaj, I was hankering after some broken pieces of jewels, but now I have some broken pieces of glass, but now I have found the rarest gem. So it is natural in the beginning, we will be going after some broken glass, you see. But by coming in contact with Mahatmas, great personalities, who are free from the defects of this material existence, Then we can, and seeing the, just like we saw in Srila Prabhupada, what sort of ecstatic, wonderful world he was living in. He was not living in this material world. He was living in the spiritual world at every minute. Why? Because he was completely free from all material desires. He was completely 100% absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. So seeing such a person who was completely free from all material desires, seeing the wonderful ocean of bliss that he was swimming in at every minute, and just manifesting mercy, unlimited volcanic eruptions of mercy, lava, mercy lava spewing in all directions wherever he went. You see. Then we get some understanding of, you know, those material desires aren't really as important as I thought they were. You see. I was thinking they're pretty important. I gotta have this, that, so many things, but actually, wait a minute. What good are they? Because even if I get them all fulfilled, how long will they last? You see? Even if I get my money or my fame or my power or my prestige, those things I'm hankering for in this world, how long will it last? And we've already had it millions and billions of times. We've wandered through the Brahmanda up and down this so not so merry-go-round of material existence. We've been wandering since time immemorial. We've been in every conceivable position. A king, a pauper, a doctor, a leper, a Brahma, an Indra Gopa, every single position. We've been rock stars, we've been everything. We've all been, we've been to the top, we've been to the bottom. Every one of us has been in every conceivable position. And where did it get us? Another stupid rotting body, right? So why keep running after the will-o'-the-wisps? You see, why keep going after, why keep trying to chew that which has already been chewed? Panakpanascharvatacharvananam. Why not go for that thing, which is the most rarely achieved thing? Upon attaining, there is no greater success than one could ever achieve in all of eternity. That's Krishna consciousness. Why not go for that? You may say, well, it's just little old me. I mean, how could I possibly get that? I mean, it's too far beyond my abilities. What can I do? Well, the insider secret is that the more you're actually unqualified, the more you become qualified. This is confirmed by Narottam Das Thakur. He said, my dear Lord, you are Patita Pavana. You are the deliverer of the most fallen, but you will not find anyone more fallen than me. Therefore, I'm the first one in the queue for your mercy. Is it? So, if you feel the most unqualified, unfortunate Godas that has no hope whatsoever of ever becoming liberated, then you're in the right position to get that special mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, you see. So there's no question of despair or depression or hopelessness in Krishna consciousness. Because the more you're in need, the more you're handicapped by your fallen position, the more you become an object of compassion. The more the Lord wants to bestow His special cause of mercy upon you, because His heart is bleeding to see how much we are suffering right now in this material existence. So all we really have to do is desire the mercy. The mercy is there, it's available, it's being showered on us at every minute, but we're so blind, we don't see it. There's unlimited mercy being showered on us upon at every minute, in every circumstance. Every single jiva throughout the entire existence is being blessed by Krishna, either directly or indirectly, either through the material energy or the spiritual energy, for coming back to Krishna as soon as possible. So actually, misfortune is simply a state of mind. There's no such thing as misfortune for a transcendentalist. He sees everything as the special blessing of Krishna. Everything. At every step, in all circumstances. Kunti Devi is the prime example of such consciousness. She found the so-called reverses of material existence to be the most auspicious, the most beneficial, the most ecstatic opportunities to connect with Krishna, and she was begging for them. Please give more calamities. I don't like this comfortable life. Give me calamities. You see? My dear Lord, please give me more and more calamities. Because when calamities come, I can do nothing but take shelter of you. And when I take shelter of you, I know I will no longer see the repetition of birth and death. So, there's no difficulty, really. We think there are difficulties, but actually there is no difficulty. We simply have to see how Krishna's blessing us at every minute. How Krishna is there at every step. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's all-merciful. He's there available for us at every minute. Even when we feel it's completely hopeless, we're completely bewildered, that's the best time to call out for Krishna's help. He simply wants to see how much we feel dependent upon Him. You understand? Krishna simply wants to see how much we feel dependent on Him. That's all He really wants to see. But if we keep strutting around Melbourne, yes, I am great. You see, we're missing out. We have to really, really feel totally dependent on Krishna. And then this material nature will no longer be a problem for us. The material nature will be transformed into spiritual nature. Actually, there is no such thing as material nature. It is simply a misperception. Everything is the energy of Krishna. So, as soon as we utilize that material nature in the service of Krishna, then it regains its original spiritual nature. Therefore, any material thing, if we can use it for Krishna, it's a mistake to give it up. Any material thing. Srila Prabhupada was criticized for using material things in Krishna's service. One godbrother even criticized him for wearing a watch. You see, oh, he's not spiritual, he wears a watch. You see. And there was also, Prabhupada mentions about he could be criticized. When he was living in Vrindavan, he wrote in the second brown Bhagavatam, in the introduction, they may criticize me for going to Delhi, dealing with the printers, instead of just sitting in Vrindavan, you know, meditating on Krishna's pastimes. He's going to Delhi to deal with the printers, you see. They may criticize him. You see. And sometimes devotees are criticized. Oh, you use the internet too much. You see. You must be in Maya because you're so much engaged using the internet. But actually, any material thing, if we can successfully use that thing for spreading this Krishna consciousness movement, then it would be foolish to give it up. You see, the Mayavadis, they say, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Spirit is reality and matter is false. So I have to deny everything about this material. Neti. But do you know what is the ultimate conclusion of neti neti? You see, they want to chop away everything. The absolute is true. It's not this. It's not that. It's not this. Neti, they take a hatchet, the neti hatchet, and they keep chopping at everything. So, if you chop away everything, neti, hacking, then what's left at the end? After you've hacked away everything, there's only one thing left to hack away, and that's hacking. Now I'm going to do a neti on the neti. Get rid of it, you see? And then you're ready for transcendental knowledge. That's happened to me I was a Neti philosopher on my way to India to become a sadhu and give up this Western rascal society, become a mendicant in India. So I wanted to deny everything in this material world. But then on the way, as I was heading to New York to get a job on a freighter like the Jaladuta, you know, something like that, to work and you know, go to India. But I realized actually I've denied everything, but now there's one more thing to deny, and that's denial. I denied, and I even wrote it down on a piece of paper, like a profound realization. I denied and I denied until I could deny no longer, and then I had to start accepting, and then something said, you should be going to San Francisco. So I headed the opposite direction to San Francisco, stuck out my thumb, you know. You know, the old hitchhiking days. And went to San Francisco and I walked in the Golden Gate Park, the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood. And there they were, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So gradually, by that good association, I realized I wasn't really God after all, even though I certainly thought I was for a while there. I realized I wasn't God after all. And that Krishna was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I was His eternal servant. So the point is that the perfection of consciousness is to utilize everything for Krishna. I mean, is there anything that's not the property of Krishna? Can you name one thing which doesn't belong to Krishna? Any one thing which is not the property of Krishna? Can any one of you name one thing which is not the property of Krishna? No, everything is Krishna's property. Therefore, if it's His property, then for whom should it be utilized? Shall I use it for myself? No. If you use somebody else's property, what are you called? If you take somebody else's property for your enjoyment, what are you called?
Thief.
Therefore, in this material world, we are thieves. This is a penal colony for thieves. But it's also a reformatory. The government is very beneficent, very kind. They have a program also to reform the thieves who want to be reformed. And that is the Bhakti Yoga system. That you can be freed from this penal colony and you can re-enter your liberated position as in Krishna's eternal pastimes as one of His transcendental associates. So anyway, it's very important, this verse is very important because I see in my correspondence with people through my e-course, so many people are trying to argue this impersonal or this karmakanda understanding of Vedic wisdom. It's really out there in the world right now. This is not something just textbook, this is very practical information is being given here, even though it's 5,000 years, spoken 5,000 years ago. It is very relevant and very practical because I'm constantly receiving emails from people who are arguing, well, you know, the Shiva Purana says Shiva is the Supreme. So what's the difference? Just choose whichever Purana you do. It's all the same. You see, they're not understanding. What is the actual meaning of the Vedic wisdom? So this is very, very important. If you actually want to know a Vedic understanding, then you must understand through Krishna. Because all the Vedic wisdom is actually coming from Him. If you try to understand through some other means other than Krishna or the parampara, one of the paramparas coming from Krishna, the four Vaishnava sampradayas, if you try to understand in a way different than that, I can guarantee you, I absolutely guarantee you, you'll be on the wrong track. And you won't get out of this material existence. That's the thing. So we have to hear from the proper source, and then we're liberated. Simply hear from the proper source, and you will be liberated. That's the thing. All you have to do, is it difficult? All you have to do is hear from the proper source, and it's absolutely guaranteed. If you go on hearing from the proper source, you'll become liberated. That's all you have to do. By that hearing, then, your consciousness will be transformed. You'll realize you're not your body. You realize your existence beyond the body, beyond the mind, beyond the intelligence, beyond the false ego. And you realize that there's nothing more ecstatic, nothing more enlivening, nothing more wonderful than simply being who you are, the eternal servant of Krishna. So, we can ask if there's any questions. Yes. Can you amplify it for me?
How can we see ourselves and with in a spiritual way?
How can we see ourselves in a spiritual way?
With the other devotees.
How can we associate in a spiritual way?
Yes,
properly with other devotees? This is a very important question this Mataji has asked. It's an extremely important question because what is the first offense against the holy names? To blaspheme the devotees, you see. In other words, we have access to the names through our association with Vaishnavas, actually. In other words, if we don't properly associate with devotees, we'll have no access to the holy names, we'll have no access to spiritual advancement. So this is the most important thing we have to learn. Prabhupada one time stated that joining a spiritual family is one of these items of surrender to Krishna. So what does that mean to join a spiritual family? It means you learn how to properly associate with Vaishnavas. Krishna reaffirms this point in the Adi Purana, talking with Arjuna. He says, Ye me bhakta jana paratha, na me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. He says, Ma osana prita, the one who is my devotee, he's not my devotee. But the one who is a devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So, unless I'm your devotee, you see, Prabhu or Mataji, unless I'm your devotee, Krishna does not accept me as being his devotee. So, that is the... When we come to this Krishna Ganga's movement, there's so many devotees, so we have to become the devotee of the devotees. If I am not your devotee, I'm not a devotee. According to Krishna. You may say, well, I don't believe in that philosophy. I'll be Krishna conscious in my own way. But wait a minute, it doesn't work that way. If you want to be Krishna conscious, you've got to do it on Krishna's terms. You can't do it on your terms. If you try to do it on your terms, what are you trying to do? You're trying to play God, and that's what got you here to begin with. So forget this idea of playing God. You become Krishna conscious on the terms of Krishna. And Krishna says, you become the devotee of my devotee, and then you're welcome. Otherwise, get out of here. Get out. You're aparadhi. I don't want you around. If you're not devotee of my devotee, you see. So that's the principle. It's the first principle of associating with Vaishnavas. You have to be a devotee of the Vaishnavas. Every single devotee, you should feel and act in a way of devotion to that devotee. Even if there's some disagreement. Yes?
Sometimes the devotees are associating with the devotees, but sometimes in a mundane way, like talking about some movie or what they saw.
A World Cup? What's the Australian team or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so... Well, if some devotee is a neophyte, he hasn't really gotten it together to be Krishna conscious, then you should try to help him by the way you deal with him. The advanced devotee, he can be very friendly, and even if somebody is talking some mundane katha, he can dip down into their katha with them and then pull them up to a higher level, you see. Someone says, yeah, I'm really into the World Cup. I mean, Australia, you know, we've got to go. You know, really got to go for it. Go for it, yeah. Somebody's really into the World Cup, you say, well, you know, you seem to be really into sports. That's cool. That's really cool. You're so much into sports, but why not you you know about the ultimate sport? You see, I can see you're really into sports, and I understand your feeling. I mean, sports are pretty exciting, aren't they? Oh yeah, they're really exciting. Yeah, really exciting. Well, the more exciting it is, the better, right? The more exciting the sport, the better it is. Yeah, yeah. The more exciting it is, the better. Well, then, my dear Prabhu, you should know about the ultimate soccer game. You see, right? The Earth planet is the gigantic soccer ball, and there's a big soccer match going on right now between the Suttas and the Asuttas. So, if you like to play soccer, you want to appreciate soccer, then hey, come join us. You know, we got an incredible soccer game going on right now. Right now, the demons have the control of the soccer ball, but we're determined to get it back. You see, we're determined to get it back, you see. So this is an example. If somebody's really into something, and you can take them to a higher level, you don't have to negate, totally negate them. Oh, you're nonsense. You're just a nonsense fool. No. You appreciate them and then take them to a higher level. That's one way to deal with devotees who are, you know, neophyte devotees who are engaged in mundane katha. You just come in there and just and lead them to a higher position. That is service. That's not egotism. That's serving. That's helping the younger devotees to come to a higher level of consciousness. So if you do it in a puffed up, haughty, you know, holier than you way, you won't be successful. You have to sincerely do it in a humble way of wanting, of love, wanting to help that devotee come to a higher level of consciousness. And then you'll be successful. Because nobody really wants to hear from you unless they like you. And nobody really is going to like you unless you like them. So if we really want devotees, want to have an impact on helping devotees come to higher consciousness, we have to love them sincerely. Sincerely love them. You see? If I love you, then you'll naturally love me. And then if you love me, you'll hear from me. And then I can help you come to a higher consciousness. This is the way it works. So again, we have to be the devotee of the devotee. If you want to have an impact on someone to help them out of their mundane neophyte consciousness, then you have to love them. You have to be their devotee. It all comes down to giving the devotee of the devotee. That doesn't mean that you blindly think that everybody's an uttam adhikari, and that you have to understand according to the scripture. There are uttam adhikari, there are majjhima adhikari, there's kanishtha adhikari, there's different levels of devotees. Yet one has to be able to tell the difference between these three different levels of devotees. One has to know what their position is also, so they can act properly in relationship with the other devotees. But if you're very sincere, you want to become pure, you want to have proper relationships with all the devotees, you study Prabhupada's books very carefully, you sincerely try your best to chant good japa every day, attend the programs as far as possible according to your situation. In this way, if you sincerely endeavor, then Krishna, what will he do? Tesham satati yuktanam vajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upriyanti te. Krishna will help you. He'll give you all help. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding of how they can come to me. So everything you say, well, coming to Krishna is one thing, and my association with devotees is another thing. No. Coming to Krishna means what you're doing at every minute in relationship to the holy name, relationship with Prasadam, relationship with Vaishnavas, that is all coming to Krishna. Everything you do at every second, if you do it properly, it means you're going towards Krishna by doing that. You see. So if you're sincere, Krishna will give the intelligence how to relate with this devotee, how to relate with that devotee, how to relate with the deities, how to relate with the holy names, how to relate with the material world, how to relate with the slaughterhouses and the abortion clinics. Shut them down as soon as possible. So in this way, If one has sincerity to be a Krishna devotee, you see, sincerely endeavors with determination, enthusiasm, and patience, it's guaranteed that you will be successful. 100% guaranteed. This recipe works. If you follow the recipe, you'll get the cake. You get a nice cake in your oven. The oven of your heart, you see, you get bhakti. The bhakti cake, a very beautiful, delicious, wonderful bhakti cake, and will be baked in the oven of your consciousness. If you follow the recipe strictly that's given in Prabhupada's books, I guarantee you, if you will do what Prabhupada says, you will meet Krishna face to face very soon. I guarantee you. So, any other questions? He always asks questions. I'm going to let you get a chance. Kind of, you may have to come tell me. My hearing is really out today, but let's try.
Prabhu, when we are preaching to a faithless person, it's an offense. So, what extent we can go and keep on trying him to?
Well, you know what? There's, in one sense, there's no such thing as a faithless person, although there is, in another sense, there is not. You go to the middle of the desert where there's no water, right? But if you drill deep enough, if you go deep enough, you will hit water. So the expert preacher, he knows how to deal with even a faithless person. He knows how to penetrate deep within that person's heart and find that little spark of faithfulness. And he knows how to connect with him. The more you become advanced in Krishna consciousness, the more you develop this talent, you see. To be able to deal with anyone in what's a way that they go, wow, that's a really a nice person. In other words, if they can have faith in you as a genuine, loving, kind, intelligent person that they really like, you see, if you can, by your dealings, they can have faith in you, then you've already got your foot in the door. It's like the salesman that gets his foot in the door, you see. Once the salesman gets in his foot in the door, then the sale is a done deal. It's just a matter of time. So if you can convince that faithless person to have faith in you, then sooner, it's just a matter of time before they'll accept Krishna. So we have to deal in such a wonderful, friendly, compassionate, loving, intelligent, expert way with everyone. People love us. They go, wow, that's one of the nicest people I ever met. So just somehow deal with them in such a way that they have faith in you. And then in due course of time, by that relationship of trust, that loving, trusting relationship you make with that person, then you can gradually transform them and enlighten them gradually.
Would you like to tell something about
Vakreshwara
Pandit?
Would you like to tell something about
Vakreshwara
Pandit?
Today is
his appearance day. I was thinking my godbrother Vakreshwara Pandit. I'm not an expert in his pastime, so I cannot speak. I'd love to, but because I don't know anything about his Leela, I don't dare speculate. Well, I think No, I don't know about Vakeshwara Pandit. But we do know that he's a great personality, and by remembering him on this day and begging for his blessing, you see, that's the mercy of the Vaishnavas. We can pray to these great personalities, Vakeshwara Pandit. That my dear Vakeshwara Pandit, you are a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So please, 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 I am a struggling devotee, a struggling neophyte, trying to conquer my senses, my wild, crazy, insane senses. Please, Vakeshwara Pandit, cast your smiling and glance of mercy upon me to help me become saved from this dark dungeon of material existence. Okay, so we'll go ahead and stop here. And we thank you all very much for your participation in this wonderful movement, which is called ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.